Thank you, Stacy, and thank you all for being here and just joining in this the time of worship. My testimony from Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. And then a verse two later, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. We have much to be thankful for, much to praise, and if we did nothing else, that would be a worthwhile time. We can praise God for our salvation. We can also praise God for the Holy Spirit that he gives us.
Amen.
And that's where we are today, leaving behind the 4 weeks we went with a 100th anniversary kind of theme. And moving back into the series on the Holy Spirit, and those two really connect very much. This church has been here for 100 years because of the work of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And what he has done in our midst. And we're here today because of what he is doing in our hearts and lives. And any hope we have of the future is that same hope of the Holy Spirit to using us and moving amongst us and doing those things. So it's really not too much of a switch of what the Lord is saying. I intended this to be just kind of a review. We have been in the Holy Spirit, I think, 7 or 8 weeks since Pentecost, and then took the 4 weeks off for the 100th anniversary, and kind of wanted to, I just thought, well, we better review where we've been and things like that, but it kind of starts that way, but the Lord takes it in a little bit different direction, so we'll see where this all goes today. So we want to start where we started maybe this whole series, and actually back into the before Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. There was Easter and the resurrection, and we did about 7 or 8 weeks on the resurrection. And back where we were there that led into this Holy Spirit, and that's John 15:5 is one place where we see that. Jesus says this, "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And we saw this in the resurrection series. The disciples had spent the 3 years with Jesus. They had participated in his ministry. They were firsthand, first row seats for all of his miracles, all of his teachings. They saw him raised from the dead, touched him, saw him, talked to him after he had done that. But they were not ready yet to go out and fulfill the commission, the calling that he had on their lives to be disciples. And so they were told to wait until the Holy Spirit came. And there is that hope we have in the end of that verse, apart from me, you can do nothing. And the beginning of that, that's the hope that we have, Jesus abiding in me and I in him. And really that, I think, is the Spirit abiding in us, in he in us. The two are identical. The Trinity all have the same characteristics, the same thing. They're not separate personalities. They're separate beings, separate functions, but they are the same. So Jesus dwelling in us, same as the Spirit dwelling in us as far as the results of that. And we kind of go back and forth on that. And so in that, then, there's the abiding and the bearing of fruit that's there because of that thing. But apart from him, we can do nothing. We need that, and I would say what we need there is the Holy Spirit. And we do have a problem here, and that's what God is addressing here. If we look at and these verses aren't up here, they're just quick ones. Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one." Go to Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 7:18, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. And if you want, like Old Testament, back in the Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, same verse repeated twice, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. We have a problem, and it's a sin. And it's a problem that we have no escape from in and of ourselves. We were born with that nature. It's a selfish, sinful nature. And there's nothing we can do to change that. We can try, we can do all of those things, but in our own strength, we can't do anything. You can study and learn and go to Bible classes and Sunday school and even go to Bible college and all of those things. What you end up being is an educated sinner. Very smart, quote all the Bible verses, but still a sinner. You can try harder, be more diligent, work harder, be more disciplined. And what you end up being is a disciplined sinner. You can be good, generous, kind, do good deeds, all of those things. And what you end up being is a respectable sinner. Maybe look good in the eyes of the world, but in your heart, there's still that selfish nature that is just looking out for ourselves. And there, Jesus again says, it's not something that we can fix. This is the problem we need to look to for somebody else. And Jesus says you must be born again. It's not just fixing ourselves. It's not trying harder. It's we need a whole new beginning. We need to start over. We need to declare death to ourselves so that we can have a new life in Him. And we see that Peter 2:38. Peter at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is fallen on them. They are finally empowered to preach the gospel. Peter stands up and in 2:38 he says this, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So and there is the answer. That is the gospel message that we have, the good news that we have that draws us to that. It starts with repenting, and that is just confessing your hopelessness, your helplessness, the sinful nature that you have. Confessing that, admitting that, and then being willing to change, turn from that, and not just willing, but eager to do that. That I want to be rid of all of those things. I want to be rid of this behavior and this selfishness, this mess that my life is. Repent, and then he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And that speaks very much to the ritual, the sacrament we have of baptism, which is a earthly testimony to what God has done in our hearts and lives. And I am hoping to have a baptism a service here again in the future. The near future would be great, but certainly sometime this year with that to just that. But baptism itself means to be immersed. And it means to be immersed, to take on a new identity, to be changed, that you're no longer in yourself, but that you're in Christ. You've left behind the old, you become the new. Galatians 2:20 says that, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. And not just figuratively, but that should be the reality. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. And so there is the promise again. We have this problem we can't solve, but God is solving that for us. And it's not just fixing us, it's not trying harder, it's receiving a whole new life from Him. And there in the Corinthians verse, the old things have passed away. And there, we want to get rid of the old life. the mess that we have, the sinful habits, the just the selfishness and how it hurts other people, how it hurts ourselves. We want to get rid of those things. But if we just repent and turn away from that, there's a vacuum in our lives. And what is going to do that? When you repent in that, you turn away from your behavior. But again, that doesn't necessarily change your heart. And my behavior changed, but my heart not necessarily right away. With that, no longer self-righteous, but and trusting in ourselves, but trusting in the righteousness of Christ. And then he, Peter, in that verse says, be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. He takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. See that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin, the perfect Lamb of God, the sinless person in this world who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, on my behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He takes our sin at the cross and gives us his righteousness. It's not a righteousness that I have to gain or earn on my own, but with that, that he gives that in that replace, and you've got to make that switch, give up myself to receive what he has for that. And then his conclusion there is, do those things, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there is crucial. The barrier of sin is taken away as Christ dies for us and pays the penalty of our sin. The old nature is replaced with the new nature. This new nature, I believe, is the Holy Spirit. Is the Christ nature, is Christ's likeness being born and springing up within us. And that is the goal of the gospel. That is the whole goal of God's plan of redemption for mankind. It's not to have, it's transformation. It's not just to be forgiven of your sins over and over and over again and still living that life of frustration in the Romans 7. I want to do the good things, but I keep doing the bad things. I keep trying harder, but I keep falling short. To lift us out of that routine and that rut that just frustrates us all the time and gets us nowhere. He wants to bring us into that new life and fellowship with God. Amen. And he can, through the cross and salvation, he forgives us our sins. But again, at that point, we're still living in that vacuum of throwing away the old. But we need something new to fill that. And that, I believe, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You do these things, the Holy Spirit will be given to you. And I think it's the Holy Spirit that's working in you to do that. You're not going to repent. You're not going to be able to receive Christ outside of the drawing of the Holy Spirit, of his convicting you of your sin, of him speaking to you, giving you that hope that there's a better way to live. There's more to life than just the rut here of the world. And so the Holy Spirit is working in that process right from the beginning. And again, then as we go through that, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us. And then we begin to see that we begin to bear new fruit, that our life does change with that. But that is also a process. We see in Galatians 5, 22, and I think 23. Good job, Cheryl. But I've forgotten 23 and left out two of the fruit of the Spirit in my original notes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Amen.
That's what God is pouring into us, is his Spirit. And it bears fruit. These things begin springing up into us, right? When you were first saved, came to the altar or prayed with your parents as a youngster or whenever that was, asking Jesus into your heart, wasn't there a joy? Wasn't there a peace? Wasn't there a new love just there, that a smile on your face and just, wow, I've been set free. We've experienced that, and that is the Spirit bearing witness to those things, those fruit beginning to take place. Now, bearing fruit is a process. You know, it doesn't come spring and the apples start popping out of the tree. Oh, look at all those apples. You know, first the little buds come, and then the leaves, and I'm not the horticulturist that some of the rest of you might be, but eventually the little apple shows up, and it hangs there, and gets bigger and bigger, but it's not quite ready to pick yet, but eventually it bears good fruit in that. But it's a process that we go through, and that happens to the extent that we actually do repent of living for ourselves and wanting something different, where we believe that God has given us that Holy Spirit and embrace that I want to live those different ways. I think a part of that struggle is, we know the devil's a defeated foe, right? At the cross and the resurrection, he was defeated. He has no hold over us anymore, no power over us besides what we give him. Out of fear or believing his lies. He's a defeated foe, but you know what? He didn't go away quietly, right? He's still raging. He's still roaring. He's still scheming and fighting against us all the time. And it's kind of that way, as the fruit and God's Spirit is working in us, that old nature that we have just doesn't say, okay, I'm dead, I'm gone. And that it's been built into our lives. It's such habits that we have. It's such patterns that we have. Oh, I've got to look out for myself. I've got to take care of myself. I need to stand up for my rights. I need to do all of those things. That just keeps coming back to us, And the Spirit says, no, you don't. There's a better way to live. Put those things aside. They're not going to bear the fruit that you want in your life. So there continues to be that struggle during that process of the fruit maturing and your lives changing. It's not just instantly, oh, all my problems are solved. I'm a good guy. I'm a perfect person now, and I will never be a perfect person short of heaven. But certainly changing. Back to that John 15:5 verse, he who abides in me and I in him, Jesus says, that first, I abiding in him is my getting his righteousness, my getting his place, him that. But then the he in me, when he abides in me, though, then that is the Spirit dwelling in me, and that's what bears fruit in that. And as I see that working out in my own life, again, in that process of that, again, the way that seems right to a man is the way of death. Your first reaction, your gut reaction, the first thing is, you can bet on it, always wrong. I'm going to get even with that guy. I'm angry. They insulted me. They didn't understand me. I'm going to text them back. I'll show them. That's our normal, natural reaction, the first reaction that comes to the natural man. And again, that's the way of death. And you know what? That first reaction still comes into my heart quite often. I'm angry. I got a right to be angry. I'm going to get even. Those type of things. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I got to be careful doing that, because if I give too much of it away, I'll be lacking all the more. But you know what? I'm seeing more and more that Spirit of God says, wait a second, stop. Slow down. Don't send off that text right away. Don't open your mouth right away. Be quiet. Pause and think about it. Ask that question, what would Jesus do? What is Jesus' response? And sometimes then you don't respond to that text till the next day, or maybe not at all, or you keep your mouth shut, and don't respond those ways, or respond in grace. To turn the other cheek, to love your enemy, all of those things that it's called to do. So we go to this Luke 11:13 verse, and we were there and puzzled on it a little bit as we preached about it a month or so ago, John 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, we've just been saying, hey, you repent and be baptized and believe you will receive the Holy Spirit. Then how come you've got to ask for it? And I'm kind of scratching my head. And as I thought about that a little bit, isn't that asking what salvation is? Isn't it coming to God and saying, I am a lost, hopeless sinner. I need your salvation. I need the forgiveness of your sins, but I also need the power of the Holy Spirit to live a different life, to live in victory where I'm going to bear fruit, where I'm going to live a life worthy of you, of the calling that you have over me. That's what salvation is seeing the need and believing and asking and then receiving in faith the gift that God has for you.
Amen.
And again, then when you ask, he will give you the Holy Spirit. And there's a sense of this that I'm believing more and more without the Holy Spirit, salvation is just a frustrating thing, and I don't know who gets into heaven and who doesn't, and things like that. But the church has been too much, I think, preaching the forgiveness of sin, but not the power over sin. We ask Jesus into our heart. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty. He forgives us our sin, but we don't go on to explain that he also gives us another gift of the Holy Spirit that will be the power to live that, to fill that vacuum of where we throw off the old habits and the old patterns with new things and good things that are going to bear fruit in us. And that's the Holy Spirit. So I think we fall short as a church when we preach that gospel of salvation and don't include that line, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. And you can believe that, and you can begin to work with that and understand that and look for that in your lives, that God is there giving you that power, giving you that ability to change and live a new life. If I went to Romans 8:14, the result of that, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And there is the testimony, that inner witness again. The spirit of the world, the spirit of the enemy, is a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of condemnation. If people really knew what you were like, or if you got what you deserved, you would be in trouble, and all of those things. And the spirit of God is this spirit of love and acceptance. There's no condemnation. There might be conviction at times, but not condemnation for those things. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer under that fear, but rather the freedom and the acceptance. And again, that is the work of the Holy Spirit here. The Holy Spirit bearing witness, the testimony, that inner confirmation that there is something new, different in my heart, the power there that I can learn to walk and live in with that. And just quickly, some of the work of the Holy Spirit and what he does as he comes in his operation of that, John 14:26. But the helper, and there's a role that he is, the helper. And you ask for help? I'm learning to do that more and more. Hey, Holy Spirit, I need your help here. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. I don't know what direction to go. And he's there as a helper, eager to answer those requests. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you.
Amen.
He's the teacher there. He's going to instruct us gently and kindly in the ways, the right ways to go, and very patient with us. Those are the fruit of the spirits too, aren't they? And he's going to teach us and to understand, remembrance, all that he said. He's going to all of a sudden open up Scripture to us. Before that, you know, we're reading Scripture, and I don't really get what it's saying. I read it and read it, but it's not connecting in my heart and my brain. But there, here again, the Holy Spirit comes and opens up the Scripture. Kind of like Stacy was saying, you know, these Psalms are just opening up in my heart and my life, and they're speaking to me, and they're speaking that life to me, and all of that. John 16 goes on, 13 and 14a, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will disclose what is to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Guides us into all truth, and we know Jesus is the truth. And don't we need that in this world of so much spin and so many opinions and so many different news channels that are telling you the exact opposite of each other, what's going on in the world? And everybody's got a voice these days in this. We need that Spirit of truth, not just the opinions, the voices. He's going to disclose to us what is to come. And again, we talked about that. That's not predicting the future, I don't think. That's not telling me, Jesus is going to come back in 12 days. It's not telling me the stock market's going to fall and get my money out of there type of thing. As much as he's shown us what the possibilities are and shown us what his promises are, who we're going to be as children of God. Amen. And the inheritance that's waiting for us and the power that's waiting for us and the effectiveness of the things that we can have as we grow and mature in him, those are the things to come. And then he glorifies Christ. He reveals Jesus to us and to where we can know Jesus as much as I know, getting to know each and every one of you and be able to answer that question. How would Jesus respond? And what would how to answer those questions? So let me just go here. Acts 1:8. Maybe I'm skipping something. I'm not sure there. But says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Okay, that power is to live that victorious Christian holy life that's bearing fruit. And as you live that, you will become effective witnesses. And if you're not living in the fullness of that, maybe you shouldn't try to be a witness, because you're just going to be turning people away from the gospel if your life isn't full of those fruits of the Spirit, if they don't see that difference in you. So that power is there, and the power to be that witness and then begin to share out of the overflow of our hearts, not out of the duty or things like that. And then the last verse up there, 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. This is not, just not my speaking, my thoughts in that today. It's not my words. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. Because if I can talk you into it, somebody that's smarter than me is going to come along and talk you out of it. And so what we're looking for is that gentle, quiet whisper of the Holy Spirit drawing you, calling you to come to him. And that, again, that's that inner witness that you can't explain, but you can't deny either. His voice calling you and that drawing you to him. And that's the power, again, that his Spirit bearing witness with my spirit that I can't deny, that confirms that change in my life. And I see that change in my life as I as he transforms me, as the fruit bears there, where I become much more patient, where I become much more kind. And it's not because I'm doing those things. It's not because I'm trying harder in that. It's the Spirit welling up within me, abiding in him, the vine giving fruit to the branches. So I know you will be disappointed. If you've noticed, there are not Sunday afternoon questions. Now don't get too excited. And I would like to say that's because it's the holiday and I wanted to give you the holiday off. But the truth of the matter is, I was doing these, Chris was going to be gone, so I had to get the bulletin in early, the notes in, and I just plain forgot. So you do get the holiday. But I do have two questions that I want to ask you this morning as we conclude this. Okay, not a discussion question in that, but just to, in the quietness of your heart and nobody's business, two questions, and I ask this. I am not going to ask you to come forward and respond. I would like, as we ask these questions, just to raise your hand, and that will let me know to pray for you. Okay, so the first question would just be, you know, and again, this is a real personal time, and God needs to see this more than I do. So don't be looking around. A good time to bow your head, close your eyes in the old-fashioned in way and that, and just let God speak to you and answer those questions for Him. And the first one would be, I'm not sure, completely sure that I'm saved, that I've been born again. I maybe know about Jesus, I've heard about Him, but I'm not sure that I've ever yielded my heart and my life to Him, trusted Him for that salvation. So if that would be that, you could just be bold enough and honest enough to say that I am not sure that I am saved, that I've been born again. No condemnation here. Just like you to just lift up your hand for just a second so we can pray for you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And the second one would be, you know, I'm pretty sure that I'm saved, but I'm not so sure that I have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. The gospel that I had was different than I heard. I've asked Him into my heart, but I haven't received that power. I haven't received that fullness of the Spirit, or that I'm still living in that frustration of wanting to do better. And not finding the ability, the power to do that. So that would be the second question. I'm pretty sure that I'm saved, but I am not sure that I've received or walking in what the Holy Spirit has for me, Him dwelling in me. Is there anybody that would just honestly respond that way to that question? Okay. Thank you very much for those responses. And again, that is in God's sight. I will pray for you. And I would love to pray with you, and not just for you. And so not calling you up front to do those things or that today, but I would love to have those conversations with you. I would love to sit down and talk and answer your questions and maybe explain some of this again and the opportunity to be sure. God tells us that we should know those things for sure, that witness should be within our hearts and lives. Okay, so let's bow in prayer. Father, I just thank You for this time. I thank You for the gift of salvation. I thank You for the gift of this church and the fellowship that we can have, that You allow us to come and worship You. You have provided the way that we can do that, Lord. Through the blood of Jesus, we can boldly come and thank You for all that You have given us, Lord, in so many different areas of our lives. We praise You for that. You're worthy of that. We're thankful for the salvation that You sent Jesus to die for us, to pay the price for our sins. And with that, Lord, then would pray, thank You again for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that You just don't forgive us and then leave us on our own again, but You come and actually dwell inside of us to make a difference in our hearts and lives. So, Lord, we thank You. We commit ourselves to You. Lord, that we would live in the fullness, that those that maybe aren't sure, Lord God, that You would speak to them and draw them and find that person, or that just even calling out to You for that assurance of those things. Lord God, we want to do Your work and Your business here. We want to be set free. And we want to live those lives that would be a witness and a testimony out in the world today as well, that so desperately needs that. So we commit ourselves to You with just thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.